Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel. And on this week's show, I am very excited because I have a great guest. You guys know I love positive stories. I'm a positive person. I feel like there's a lot of doom and gloom and everything that comes along with autism diagnosis, especially with our kids. We're always told their limitations and the things that, you know, all the experts think they will never be able to do. But I don't think we hear enough of the success stories and the stories of perseverance and everything like that. So for today's episode, I had the pleasure of talking to Scott Klum. Scott is an adult living on the spectrum, and he is also one heck of a talented filmmaker. He's made a lot of short films that have been on a lot of these and in a lot of these big time movie festivals. He's done a lot of great work, and we talk about his diagnosis. We talk about being an adult on the spectrum, but we also talk about how being autistic can help him with the films that he makes and everything like that. So it's really a positive story that I'm happy to get out there to show that, you know, yes, things are different, but, you know, that we shouldn't place so many limitations on what we think our kids are capable of. So I really hope you guys enjoy my interview with Scott. All right, we're back with another episode of the Spectrum Dad. Today, I am really excited to be joined by filmmaker Scott Klum. Scott, how are you, bud?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. You know, another busy day. But Scott, you sent me a video last night that you've been working on, and I wanted to have you on because you are doing some amazing film projects. But before we get into that, do you want to kind of give us a backstory of you and you know, everything else you've got going on?
Yeah, so like quite a bit of autistic adults out there, I wasn't diagnosed until later in life. And growing up, just a second. growing up, I just struggled a lot, and I was bullied as a kid, basically, like, I don't know, second or third grade through my junior year of high school.
Okay.
And at the time, I was diagnosed with the learning disability, central auditory processing disorder. And sure, that answered some questions, but ultimately, that central auditory processing disorder proved to be more being autistic. And yeah, I just struggled a lot. And then, I mean, it's in my documentary, Autism One Man's Journey, the first documentary I ever made. But I struggled a lot with mental health and mental illness for a long time. I had severe depression. So because of the severe depression, I struggled a lot, and that eventually led to a psychiatrist just saying, there's more to this than just the depression.
Okay.
And then eventually I got my first diagnosis of PDD-NOS, pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, and which is on the spectrum, but on the lesser side when they had these different categories.
Right.
And the only reason they gave me that diagnosis was not anything clinical. It was a person diagnosing me making a judgment and deciding from her own point of view, which was, well, Scott's special interest or passion is film, but because he makes money off of it as a career, there's no way he can be autistic. So all of a sudden I can't be autistic because because I make a living off my special interest. That was her judgment.
Yes. That's frustrating because we've been through a similar situation with my son, Alex. At 3 years old, he was diagnosed ADHD and sensory processing disorder. We took him to a developmental pediatrician. And looking through her report, she says that he had some autistic traits, but because he is social, that wasn't enough, you know, he couldn't be on the spectrum. And I don't know how you were, how old you were when you got diagnosed, but my son didn't get diagnosed until he was 10 years old.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't, so I wasn't diagnosed till like a month before I turned 24.
Okay.
And but it's just really annoying within this world how a lot of these people diagnosing people are making their own assumptions and judgments that aren't even clinical.
Right.
And that's a huge issue. And already the testing is so expensive. A lot of people can't even afford the testing.
Okay.
And then for someone like myself going into get an autism diagnosis, I then get diagnosed with PDD-NOS, which is basically like you have some autistic traits. But like, so then a couple years later, I had to get retested again. And then the person that diagnosed me then was just like, that person is absolutely crazy. Like, of
right.
course you can make money off of your passion and special interest. Why shouldn't you? It's so at that point, I was diagnosed with Asperger's before it switched over to autism spectrum.
Okay.
And now I just call myself autistic.
I know that it's the frustrating part about this whole process, because it's not like you can do blood work or take an x-ray or an MRI or something. And, you know, and you can see, you know, very clearly whether a person is autistic or not. It is, you know, a judgment call. And, you know, different people, even though I'm sure they're well-trained and well-meaning, you know, they see things differently.
Right. And you're going to run into that with each clinical person you run into.
It's, right.
And I mean, if I know a lot of self-diagnosed people that are in line or want to get a real diagnosis or just a medical diagnosis. And it's just like, I just want them to be prepared that there is the potential that the first time you go in for a diagnosis, you may not get the diagnosis.
Right.
And you have to get retested again by someone else. It's not just, and because of this, the other thing is the testing. The tests they give you were made years ago.
Okay.
And it's like they really, hopefully they will adapt the testing in time. But yeah, it's definitely a process.
Now, with my son, we took him to a developmental pediatrician. You weren't diagnosed until you were your early 20s. So as an adult, where do you go to, you know, to seek a diagnosis?
I went to an autism specialist.
Okay.
In the Denver area.
Got it.
And for those who are listening, like, I highly suggest this person. Her name's Leela Kimmel. She's very well known in the Colorado area for helping people with this. And she was great. She was able to be like very kind and helpful during the test and just non-judgmental and just was able to be present there.
And, that's good to hear.
So I would highly recommend anyone in the Denver, Colorado area or close by to check her out if you are interested in yourself getting an autism diagnosis or someone else you may know.
Perfect. Now, also as parents, even when we suspect that our, you know, our kids have, you know, autism, ADHD, you know, whatever, We run into really long wait lists to even get an appointment for an evaluation. Has that been your experience as an adult as well?
It has. I think
Okay.
it's, I don't remember how long it took me to get in line. I guess it would be over 10 years ago, but I do know because it is just, well, it's basically the diagnosis of the decade right now, and
Yep.
it's just there are long wait lists for these, and it's not just because these doctors can't like fit you in, but it's a whole process for them. They have to write this giant report
Yeah.
related to your diagnosis,
Right.
so it is very time consuming. So I've heard of wait lists being up to 9 months long, maybe even longer.
Okay.
And I think again, what's really tough with that is if you have to wait 9 months and spend $1,500 or whatever it may be, and then you don't get the diagnosis you want, like it's then you're back to ground zero and have to get on another waiting list. And it's just, it's there's no perfect answer to anything in life. So it's hopefully in time we can get more doctors to help out with this
Right.
and create more space for people. But yeah, the waiting lists have been pretty crazy these days.
Okay. Now let's shift gears a little bit because I started following you on Instagram. You're an incredibly talented filmmaker.
Thank
How
you.
did you develop that interest? Is it something you've always been interested in, or is it a fairly recent development? But how did that come about?
So it started because prior to being diagnosed as autistic, I went to a school in Denver called Denver Academy, and it was a school for learning disabilities. And in the part of the school I went to, we got to create these projects each quarter where we would go out and do something and produce something or push ourselves to do something we wouldn't usually do. And then we'd have to do a big PowerPoint presentation in front of lots of people. And one quarter, I decided I'm going to make a ski movie of my friends and I. And So my friends and I would just go out and film each other. And then at that point, I didn't think I had like what it took to edit a film because I just wasn't good with computers. And I just made an assumption there. And so I had my friend Garrett edit it for me at the time. But then a year later, I decided, you know, now that I'm in college and I'm living in the mountains, I want to make a full ski movie. So I found some of these guys from Aspen and Vail, and we filmed together. And then I decided, well, if I'm gonna go this route, I better learn how to edit. And I just found a really, I just became very passionate about it. And then fast forward like 2 years, I decided to go to film school. And the very first project I ever did for film school, all the projects in the class from the students were like exactly the same, and just like I'm like, oh no, I really screwed this one up. And then the teacher paused my project in the middle. I'm just like, oh no. And then he said, class, take note. This is better than any of our grad students.
Wow.
And that was my very first project, like freshman year of film school. So from that day forward, everyone in my class wanted to be on my team. And then like I continued doing work in the ski film industry for a while. And I even had like Warren Miller do a voiceover over some of my clips, which was really cool. And then I continued to film during the time I had like, I struggled with mental health and stuff. It became a coping skill and everything. And then fast forward to like 2018 or so, I decided that I wanted to make a documentary and a memoir about my life. And that couldn't have gone any better. A lot of people connected with my story, the struggles and persevering, and the hope with just building a fulfilling life afterwards. And I grew to really enjoy documentary work. So then I've made, I think, Autism One Man's Journey, Thriving on the Spectrum, and Autism Ability. So three documentaries, and my last four films have all been award-winning films. And I've really enjoyed getting outside the action sports world because it's been more passion projects and just connecting with people. And and then I can do a lot of different styles of film. I mean, recently I did the film about superheroes. I've also done freelance film work. I made a video for an NBA player for the NBA draft. Yeah, the sky's the limit.
That's amazing. And then you've got the video you sent me yesterday is for the Easter Seals, am I right?
Yeah, it's for the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge.
Right. You've got to look that up on YouTube. It's called The Academy of Extraordinary Heroes. It's only a 5-minute short film, about 5 minutes, but even that, it was like it was pretty funny, actually. I
Yeah.
don't, I don't want to give, I don't want to give too much of it away because I want everybody to go out and check it out. But even that was pretty good. But where are your other documentaries, Thriving on the Spectrum and Autism One Man's Journey? Can we view those anywhere? Are they streaming anywhere?
They are on my website at www.smkmedia.biz.
Okay.
And Thriving on the Spectrum, the full short film isn't quite online, but I'll be releasing it in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And Autism One Man's Journey and all the other films are on there.
Awesome. And I'll be sure to update everybody when Thriving on the Spectrum gets released.
Great.
Yeah. Where can people find you online? What's your Instagram handle if they want to connect with you?
My Instagram handles are autistic.filmmaker, and my other Instagram for my media company is SMK Media.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Scott.
Yep.
And I want everybody to look up the Academy of Extraordinary Heroes on YouTube and give it a like, give it a comment, help him win the Disability Film Challenge. Because before we started recording, you've entered this contest before and came away with some awards, am I right?
Yeah, my very first year doing the Disability Film Challenge, the theme was documentary, and my film Autism Ability won Best Editor, which was an amazing feeling because that was just the past 2 years has been really cool to see my film work stand out because in film school it was tough on me because none of the teachers ever put me in like the student show, or none of the films qualified for it, never won an award. And it's just like it was hard on me. But then fast forward to now when I had to drop out of film school, and I'm one of the few that continued film outside of it. And
Right.
I had to drop out because of my depression, but that didn't change my passion. And now I'm winning awards and film festivals all around the world on my own and with teams of people. So that's a really cool feeling. But because of Autism Ability with the Disability Film Challenge, I got to have a meeting with some high up people at HBO. I got to do some meetings with different Academy Award winning editors, as well as an editor that edited the show Dexter, and what was the other one? Westworld.
Oh, wow. That's big time.
Yep. And one thing they've told me, which I want to continue to pursue, is where they really see my niche as an editor in the future as a career is like doing Hollywood movie trailers. So I'm really good at editing to the music and telling a story and making it just visually stunning. So there's a future in that.
Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait to follow along, dude. You know, it's incredibly impressive what you've done so far. And, you know, it gives us as parents hope for our kids, because we hear a lot of doom and gloom and a lot of limitations that are placed on our kids by doctors and therapists and everything. So I love having people like you on that are successful, that have, you know, you follow your passions, have a lot of determination and everything. So seeing success stories like you gives a lot of hope to us parents.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to shy away from there's definitely struggles I face each and every day with as being an autistic person, but it's also like, there's also certain things that being an autistic person makes me very talented at. Because of the autism, I am able to hyper-focus for hours on end with video editing. And it just like, I can work for 6 hours, 9 hours, and it only feels like an hour or two pass by because I just get so in the zone. And it's also my attention to detail is so much more in tune than a lot of neurotypicals I know. And it's just, I think being autistic helps with this, because sometimes I take it for granted, but I think my autism diagnosis is part of what made me so talented at what I do.
I'm sure it did. And thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with me today.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Scott.
All right. Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Scott. Please go check out his website. It's smkmedia.biz. And I can't let you guys go without the Spectrum Dad joke of the week. So how do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. I will talk to you guys next week. Don't forget to leave 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate them. And if you want to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. Thank you.